In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
If you're like me, you've probably wondered why it is that perfectly good social socialists, who are all for gay rights and women's rights and the Me Too movement and all that, why is it that these socialists seem perfectly okay with Islam? Especially given that Islam is against so much of what socialists say that they stand for. Under Islam, women don't have equal rights. It's not only okay to rape a woman, you can kill her if she is raped. Gays are routinely thrown off of buildings. That doesn't seem very progressive. And at the same time, Islam seems perfectly okay with socialism, despite socialists being against so much of what Islam seems to be for. So why is it that the two seem to be so perfectly chummy with one another? Well, they have common enemies for one, Christianity, America, freedom of religion, even capitalism, because it makes people independent. So there's that, the enemy of my enemy and all the rest. But it's almost like socialists and Islamists pretend not to know that they can't coexist. It's like, let's destroy our common enemies and we'll figure out the small print later. There are a lot of similarities between Islam and socialism in their methods. Overwhelm the system, divide people into acceptable groups and groups to be hated, feed off chaos, promise one thing, deliver another. And in their end results, misery, only the leaders benefit, loss of freedom, loss of individuality, loss of your life, especially if you speak up or get in the way. Recently, two Muslim women were elected to Congress. Make no mistake, they are not there to make America a stronger, more Christian nation. They are not there to honor and continue our Judeo-Christian heritage, the ideals and philosophies and rules of law on which our nation is founded. This week, Nancy Pelosi passed an anti-hate resolution in response to Muslim Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's anti-Israel, anti-Semitic remarks. Those were just what she said publicly. Imagine what she thinks and says privately. On today's show, we'll talk with our guests and get some insights into whether there's cause for alarm. And he'll give us some signs that reveal whether these two women are jihadists. Remember, not all jihadists wear bombs, but they could very well effectively be a bomb right in the heart of American society. I'd like to welcome now Kamal Saleem. Kamal is a former cultural jihadist who had come here to America to destroy it from within, but after he turned his life over to Jesus, he is now making it his mission to wake up the church and those within politics to wake them up to the real dangers posed by radical Islam. Kamal, it's great to talk to you again.
It's awesome being with you guys. We missed you very much, and we're looking forward for this 2019 to be a glorious year.
Yes, we sure hope so. Absolutely. And, you know, it has been awesome. We talked to you. We had tried to do that last fall, but unfortunately just our schedules didn't mesh up. But it's been great to hear how busy you've been out there waking people up. Over in Europe even. So we definitely want to get your thoughts on Europe.
Absolutely. Things are accelerating all over in the United States and in Europe, you know, especially in the Western civilization. We see an acceleration across the board. You know, the enemy really want to bring down every Western structure and replace it by ultra-socialist, Marxist, you know, influences for this new move. And everybody knows what this new move about, and it's not about God.
No, absolutely. We really want to get your thoughts on especially the ties between Islam and socialism. But let's actually start with some recent developments, because it's in the news lately here. You've got Ilhan Omar. She is probably the most famous of the two Muslim women that just recently got elected there. And it's really been fascinating to watch this unfold. These two Muslim women, they came up through the Democrat ranks. And so you're out in the field quite a bit, talking and speaking to crowds in various states. Did you see Minnesota and Michigan making the move to elect Muslims to Congress?
Yes, and we talked about it on your station, you know, several times before, you know, that the DNC lost its power to the point right now that they're ultra-guarded, that they are disallowing any conservative media to be in their meetings. And, you know, only people who are, you know, with membership to go in there. So therefore, they are controlling the gates because they don't want anybody to know what is taking place in those meetings. And so it's turning to a fascist meeting. And so therefore, we talked about on your show before that the DNC lost their strength, their zestiness, their abilities to move forward. So now they are championing the new Goliath in the valleys, you know, to speak on their behalf. And these are, it's called Islamism. And so what we see this, we see now is what our previous administration, prior to President Trump, you know, when he said, you know, when he said those colonies of Ethiopians and others, radical Muslims, that everybody knew that they were radical, because how do we know this? About, you know, over 100 young men and women left to join ISIS, you know, and fight with ISIS. You know, so when we look at all this, we see that these are places are prone already to move into fascism and every other ism, you know, form of ism. So when we look at Minnesota and Michigan, they are perfectly set to be, you know, the leading fact. But now we look at Tennessee. Tennessee is another focus. And then we look at Florida and we look at New York. New York is becoming a dark region. Yes. Right now. We see the Islamists are policing. You know, they have their own police now. They're called Sharia police. They are shunning out the people from their homes, from their from businesses, whatever, to establish Islamic zoning. All of it is taking place. We are in that place, which is will lead us to the election of 2020.
Well, it's certainly been shocking to see how quickly some of this is unfolding. You know, we've been warning people for several years now that this is coming, but it always, I think, is a surprise to people to see how quickly it can change from one to the next. In terms of, because I know you go around and you speak to various groups and whatnot in the different states, are you getting the sense that these two women in particular were elected because of, you know, one of the theories that I've seen is that especially Ilhan was elected due to all of the Somalis that Obama resettled into those districts. Do you get the sense that there's any credence to that?
Absolutely. You know, nothing happened by mistake. Everything is, you know, as we talked about on your show before, the way it works, they concentrate masses in different areas. So that's why they want to change the way we vote, because if the Democrats change the way we vote, then they can control who wins and who will lose in 2020. So and that's why immigration is important to them.
Yes.
And specifically Islamic immigration. So when we look at all this, we found out that you know, Ilhan Omar and her, you know, her friend, you know, both of them are, you know, they have relationship with Hamas. They have relationship with you know,
with CARE, yeah.
Council of American Islamic Relations. They have ties, you know, that they got monies from overseas, from Qatar. They got monies from Iran. They got monies from, you know, are they getting finances even from socialist group that they are funding them? So you go like, why would Democratic socialist group are funding them? And why the Democrats would not shun down, you know, this anti-Semitism? So we need to see. We need to really open this and look at the big picture here.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, let's talk to you about that in the next segment. Everyone stay with us. So we'll have more with Kamal Saleem. And also coming up, are there jihadists in Congress? Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking today to Kamal Saleem. He is a former cultural jihadist who had come to America to destroy it from within. And he has now dedicated his life to waking people up to the dangers of radical Islam. You can find out more about Kamal by heading to Koom Ministries. That's K-O-O-M-E Ministries.com. And we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. So, Kamal, we have these two Muslim women now in Congress. And I think that this is rightfully concerning to a lot of people. Democrats seem to be perfectly fine with it because it shows how inclusive they are and everything else. But I think there's some real danger here that these two women in particular represent to America. You know, there's plenty of very patriotic Muslims out there. I'm not disputing that at all. But these two women in particular seem to be rather dangerous. In terms of Ilhan Omar, I mean, was she on your radar at all while she was running and before she was elected, or did she kind of surprise you too?
No, we were looking at everyone that is running, you know, from in Minnesota specifically and in Michigan. All those, you know, people, we were, you know, looking at two fronts in here, and we're, you know, advising at the both fronts and fighting at the both fronts. So, but, you know, when we look at all this, we need to look at these two women. Number one, why they are acting the way they acted. If they are truly liberal or if they are truly moderate Muslims, will they act like this? Absolutely not, because moderate Muslims do not adhere to Sharia. These two women adhere to Sharia. The fact one of them wear the ishar or the hijab. Yes. And also the fact that they are rising against the Jews. That's the first thing is to condemn down the Jews. We need to understand that Jewish people are only 1% globally, while Islam is 1/3 of the world. So therefore, why this majority is bullying this 1% is because it is condemned by Sharia to destroy the Jews utterly. So therefore, when we looked at these two and we see why that they are put over there, they are there to cause propaganda. What is the propaganda? Is it in Sharia? Absolutely. In Sharia, the way the teaching of Muhammad says, Al-Harbu Khuda, war is the deception, is to deceive your enemy. So why do you want to deceive the enemy? To cause the divide, the great divide. Why do you want to create divide? So they can create a clash in a culture. Because when a culture is clashing, Islam becomes a solution, just like what's happening in Europe. So we looked at this all together. These two people are not put up there by mistake. They're put there on purpose.
Well, so you said that they were put there on purpose. Talk to us a little bit more about that. I mean, is there some forces behind them? I mean, and if so, who are those?
Well, we see the Muslim Brotherhood from CARE, ISNA, you know, NSA, NAS, you know, all of them. All these are Muslim fronts. That's the Muslim Brotherhood. And then we see the state of Qatar. And then now we see Turkey is investing in our, you know, Senates, in our, you know, House representative, even Iran. So we see three nations, and they are, you know, vast nation, Iran, Turkey, and Qatar, and the Muslim Brotherhood as a government by themselves to establish global Islamic Sharia. So what happened is when we see this, we see them, they are sinking together in the gateway to our political system is coming through our, you know, the DNC, specifically through the socialist group in the DNC, and there's 81 socialists in our DNC program that they are running as Democrats, but yet they are Marxist and socialist.
So to be clear, you feel pretty convinced that these are not just moderate Muslims that, you know, basically Congress people who happen to be Muslim. You really feel that these are more of the radical type of Islamists and perhaps even jihadists.
They're funded specifically to be part of that move for such time this on the American calendar for you know, for this election. Yes.
So, okay, so if she is a jihadist, and you seem pretty convinced of that, as am I, actually, what level of threat does that really represent? I mean, she's in the House, for example. I mean, she's in the House, and she's on the Foreign Intelligence Committee. I mean, would she be willing to leak information to our Islamic enemies?
Yes, because we need to really see what just happened. Senior Homeland Security Advisor, in the United States, he said, he made the statement, he said, we must stop giving the jihadists access to the American secrets, to the homeland, you know, from Mohammed al-Albari, from, you know, all these people that were set in our prior administration to be part of this move right now. There are Muslim Brotherhood induced in our system. So when you look at all this, this is part of deep state.
Well, it's frightening to have somebody that will have access to this classified information. I mean, that, you know, by definition, being on that committee gives her access to a lot of highly classified information. Let's go ahead and take a break a little bit early here, because we really want to talk to you some more about the impact that this will have on Israel. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Kamal Saleem after this. This is the iSpy Radio Show, talking about the threats within here, within America, and specifically we're talking about some of the Islamic threats. We have two radical Muslims that have been recently elected to Congress here, and to discuss all that, we're talking with Kamal Saleem, who was a former jihadist himself, came here to America to destroy it from within, and so he definitely knows what he's talking about in this regard. Kamal, you were saying during the break there that a lot of this was set up, and that there were some predecessors to this. Could you go ahead and talk to our audience about that?
Yes, we see in the previous administration, what happened is there were about nine radicals were put into our system from national, from home NSA to the FBI, to the CIA, to many other places. And one in particular, you know, his name was Muhammad al-Bari. And Muhammad al-Bari, you know, he spoke in Dallas, Texas one time, you know, under the last administration as an American, you know, intelligence, you know, and he spoke from, you know, a book. It's called A Milestone by Sayyid al-Khutb, which is the head of the Muslim Brotherhood. And he was talking specifically about, you know, that the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, way of things is to establish sovereignty and authority over all non-Muslim nations, and it's to spark and ignite Islamic revolution against their enemies, wherever they may be. So when we look at all this, and these are sworn to be part of our American, you know, governing. So now we see these are specifically are part of the infiltration of our system, specifically to make place for Islamism into our nation, so that in the future they will allow and establish Islamic governing. Perfect example will be, look at what happened in England. They have 11 mayors now running over 11 cities. These mayors are making place for more Muslims to come about and working with Turkey, working with other nations, and even to the point that they want to bring more, you know, immigrants, you know, and so therefore, why would they want to do this? Because once they reach certain percentage, just like what's happening in France they have today approximately 10 million Muslim. The French government could not control them anymore. Why? Because, you know, they are just literally taking, you know, just growing. And, you know, if I tell you the numbers that they're growing in, it's crazy. And so, therefore, the French government doesn't know what to do because they are socialists. So well, what does that got to do with anything? Socialism is the gateway to Islamism.
Well, we will want to talk to you about that in an upcoming segment here. And in terms of, before we press on to that, though, you know, you mentioned how a lot of this has been set up. And in the previous administration, these people were put in place. So where exactly is our intel community on this? Where is our military? I mean, this is a clear threat from within. I mean, do you get any sense that our own the people that are supposed to be protecting us are even aware of this?
Well, I mean, look what's happening currently, you know, and within our intelligence community, they are working to divide the nation. They are working to weaken the nation. They are working to exhaust the nation so that they will not succeed from moving forward. So when you go like, why would anybody who's chosen to be protector over this nation want to weaken this nation to the point that this nation could not stand on its own feet? It's because it's a one world agenda to really establish, you know, bringing the sovereign nation as the Western civilization to be part of this whole one world movement in a way, so all of it can be governed by one government. And so therefore, a lot of them are working for this one government, one understanding, one ruling, and because all of them runs under the ism umbrella, which is from fascism to socialism and what so have you.
What about the Iwan brothers? These were the people that were involved in the, they were basically handling the IT, the internet and telecommunications for Debbie Wasserman Schultz and a number of other, I think something like two or three dozen Democrats, and they had access to all of their computers, including very classified information. Were they perhaps forerunners to these two Muslim women?
Well, you know, I really could not speak on this because I have no expert. You know, I'm not well vetted on this.
Okay.
But I will say this: anytime you put somebody that has loyalty to radical Islam, they are put there specifically, you know, to change our culture and take what we have and make it, you know, make their book play how the radical can play in this nation based on what is found in here. So when we have intelligent committee in our, you know, House of Representatives, and we have radicals sitting over there on that committee, including, you know, a Muslim radical, what happened is they're going to give every play to the Muslim Brotherhood. In turn, it's going to be, they're going to know exactly what to do in the next election and how they can warp things. It's working against the, you know, that invasion immigration that's coming through our south borders already. Yeah. You know, all of it is held on purpose for such time as this.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking, too, is that this sounds very much like a well-thought-out, very well-planned assault on America. I mean, you can certainly see the ties to why they're pushing illegal immigrants and also even the ties to the census, why they don't want that question there, whether or not you're a citizen of the country. Because if they can flood the United States, especially some of these more vulnerable areas, with a lot of illegal immigrants and suddenly tilt the balance and, you know, manage to get them to vote as well. I mean, that can really have some real damage to America. In terms of this being a planned assault, it sounds like whether you're talking the Iwan brothers or you're talking about these two women that are now congressmen, it doesn't sound like any of that just happens. It's all very purposeful. There's a long-term plan on that. Am I reading you right on that?
The Muslim Brotherhood came to the United States of America in 1960, and they didn't come to the United States to be part of this culture, but they came to change this culture. Hmm. And as we know, that radicals, they don't work, you know, like the American, you know, let's vote on this, let's work on this. The radical works specifically from generation to generations, from culture, you know, from group to group. So they will hand it over to the second group that is coming about. And so each group will lay a foundation for the second group to be established based on that foundation. Although it may seem that they have nothing to do with one another, but one will open the door, one will one will enter. You know, so it's part of the agenda and how it's been established and how to take place for future generations. So it doesn't work like what we think, like American, you know. You know, like, let's put things together, let's vote on this bill, let's establish this. No, these people will manipulate their way and establish their ways. They will marry it into a situation. They will bring financial influences, and they will bring, political group, and they will lobby those groups, and they will, allow, just like pushing their warrior a little bit at time to the point that they can enter, it'll allow a big flow of radical to go into the culture and become part of the culture. Wow. It is, we don't work like them. And so therefore we don't understand how they work unless you come from them.
Yeah. It's a very different mindset. And that's why we need people like you to get into a Trump administration to advise these people. All right, let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll have lots more with Kamal Saleem coming up. We'll be talking about the melding of socialism and Islam. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson. Talk today to Kamal Saleem. He is a former culture jihadist who had come here to America to destroy it from within. He was commissioned by a Saudi prince to do that. You can find out more information about Kamal by either heading to today's show page on iSpyRadio.com, or you can head to his ministry page, which is Koome Ministries. That's K-O-O-M-E Ministries.com. Kamal, so in this segment, and probably in the next one, we want to talk to you a little bit about the integration, really, of socialism and Islam. And this is not exactly a new partnership. I remember seeing a lot of pictures and reading articles about how Hitler was, he was enthralled, really, with Islam and how it had control over its people and thought this was a natural fit for socialism. And it really does seem to fit a lot with the socialist mindset. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that integration between the two philosophies?
You know, when Hitler was fighting, you know, he rose against the Jews. He didn't know what to do with the Jews. And therefore, there was a Muslim imam. He's the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. What does Mufti mean? Mufti is the imam who sits over all imams, and he adjudicate into that nation. All Muslim nations have those muftis. So the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, his name is Hajj al-Amin al-Husseini. What happened is, and he is the great grandfather of Yasser Arafat. And so, therefore, what happened is, when we look at all this, his agenda is never to allow the Jews to come to Israel again, you know, to proclaim their land. So therefore, he met with Hitler secretly. He flew over and he met with Hitler, and he raised two regiments, you know, from Kosovo and Chechnya, which is they were radical Muslim, you know, regiment. And also what happened is they fought at the forefront with the Nazi armies. And these regiments killed more Jews and Christians than any other, you know, Nazi German soldiers did. And so when we look at all this, how did Hitler knew what to do with the Jewish people, and where did this philosophy come from? So when we look at the Nazis, what they did, how they put the yellow star, how they marked these people with numbers, how they called them, animals. They are not human. They are not a human. All of it is part of Sharia. That's what was done historically in Islam. Umar ibn Khattab, the second Khalif of Muhammad, did the same thing verbatim. Muhammad participated in killing, destroying the biggest tribe, Jewish tribes, in Bani Qurayza in Medina, and so therefore he destroyed Judaism, in that region. So when we look at all this, it was imparted, and why was it imparted? Why was it received? Because it is both of them have the same theology, both of them have the same heart, and if the Muslim will do this for them, then they don't have to do it themselves. So when Ilhan Omar, we're looking at her, and she's calling the Jewish people what she's calling them. And we, like I said earlier, the Jewish people are 1% globally, while Islam almost one-third of the world. We look at this, why the big body of Islam is bullying those. So it's part of the agenda is to utterly destroy the Jews, because the Jews are the first group that they're hated by Islam, and the second group is Christianity. So therefore, when we see the socialists are working, they're always bringing the Islamists, because the Islamists is part of their identity and part of their agenda. So nobody in the Democratic Party is saying, this woman should resign her job. If this was on the Republican Party, now everybody will say they have to resign. So therefore, we see it on the other side. And so behind the scene is accepted, just like the global, agenda for, with the socialist Marxist, lady who want to implement, a green plan. Why they are not coming against it? No one is going to bomb. But all these will bring chaos and bring, divide in our nation, in a place to create for their advancement because they work on chaos. So it's accepted in their laws and bylaws to bring those groups. Now, when we look at the DNC, when we look at those groups, they have social progressive, you know, groups. They have Marxists. They have communists, you know, from the CPC, Congressional Progressive Caucus, from the CPC, you know, from the SI, from DSA, you know, Democratic Socialist of America. All these are groups, you know, progressive, you know, caucuses, you know, and they are working to advance, you know, these people. And when you look at these people, they have, you know, high people. Like, for example, we have Raul Gorzavella, you know, he's from Arizona, and Lynn Wolseley, you know, in California, and many others. They are set through institution, institutions specifically to bring finances and change the direction of the United States from within on the left side. So, so their agenda is to institute massive tax increase, healthcare, you know, to destroy our healthcare system, and now everybody dependent on government, food to eat, you know, and manner how to worship. Worship will be dictated through all this unless our government turns socialist, they cannot control America. The problem is, you know, 65% of the United States hate socialism, but 54% like progressive movement.
Yeah, it's scary how quickly that is growing in support, and a lot of it is, you know, as we talked to our guest last week, is that simply people don't understand what socialism really is. They get caught up in the whole, you know, the Christmas Santa Claus effect, where they're just going to be given all this free stuff. Let's go and take a break there. I want to ask you some more questions about socialism, and I want to actually go back to Hitler for just a little bit. Frightening stuff. Certainly, everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Kamal Saleem. Welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Kamal Saleem about some rather frightening occurrences here within our own Congress. Really, we have two radical Muslims that have recently gotten elected, and we are certainly seeing the fruits of their labor. Kamal, so much of this is really quite quite worrisome, and I hate to use the word terrifying, but in many ways it is. And I want to revisit something that you had said about Hitler and the tie-in between Hitler's socialism and also Muslims. So just to be clear, were you saying that Hitler specifically got advised by the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem in order to, and how to deal with Jews, or had he already started down that path? And the way that he treated Jews just happened to coincide or be very coincidental, or was pretty much everything, all those actions that he took against Jews, was that all from that from that Islamist?
Well, when we look at the history of what happened in a fascist Nazi Germany under Hitler, what happened is, that in order to really rally the people, the poor people, you know, the weak Germany, to rally, you know, they have to find somebody. They have to find a sheep to be slaughtered. And when they look at the riches of Europe, they found out that Jewish people are the richest of all. And so, therefore, what happened is the Jewish people were not mixed with the fascists. You know, because they have their own belief, their own laws and bylaws. So therefore, what happened, that is, Germany found that if they rise against the Jews, start painting them as the enemy of Europe, and they are the one who's sucking out the blood of everybody, and that's why everybody is getting poor and this and that and the other. They didn't know where to go beyond that point. You know, only the brown shirt were harassing these people, breaking into their businesses, beating up some of those guys. But after Haj Amin Husseini met with Hitler, what happened? Haj Amin Husseini did not want any of those Jewish people to come back to Israel. So therefore, he unfolded the agenda, how it was done previously by predecessors of Islam, from Umar ibn Khattab, from Osman bin Affan, from many of these people, even Ali bin Abi Talib, all of them, these are the caliphates, so therefore when Hitler learned this, that is when you start saying that they are not a human being, looking at them, they are not part of our culture, they are cancerous to our cultures.
Yeah.
They start calling them, pigs and monkeys and whatever. Yeah. Well, how did you call them pigs and monkeys?
And that's what you said that's what you said that really rang a bell with me. Is, I mean, gosh, that's like, I'd never made that connection before. But that's straight out of the Quran.
Is straight out of the Quran.
Yeah. Wow. Huh. Oh, boy. So in terms of socialism and Islam, as far as I know, I don't think there's any socialist Muslim nations, are there? And if not, why not?
Well, if you hear Muslim imams in the Middle East, they believe, so let's describe what Islam is. Islam is a communist regime with a God.
Hmm.
Islam is a communist regime with a God. When we saw what Muammar Gaddafi did and also Saddam Hussein, they were controlling the masses of radical Islam in their nation. Excuse me. Upon the Arab Spring, the break of the floodgates of the Arab Spring, what happened? We saw the radical Islamism came to the forefront, to the point that Iraq is still under war until this day. And we saw the first war by the Bushes. The Bushes started the war. And then we see the next war started, by Obama. He started bringing, those walls down. So it caused what we call it today, the Arab Spring. Why did they want to cause the Arab Spring? Is to cause that massive invasion to the Western civilization, immigration. And so therefore what happened is, and now they are the radical roaming the earth, and they have no leadership, there's no governing, and the radical are controlling everything. And who are they today? They're Islamist, meaning they're the Muslim fundamentalist. And so therefore, when we look at all this, we see today exactly and specifically, this is what's been accomplished today.
Hmm. That really gives me chills when you said that Islam is a communist nation with a God. I think that's exactly right. There's a lot of conflicts, in many ways, at least on a social level, between, American socialism or American democratic socialism, and Islam, for example, especially around things like, being gay or whatnot. So, But on the other side of things, the Democrat socialists are certainly aligning with some of these radical Islamists. But who wins in the end?
Well, the thing is that they have not really faced is we see what if they want to see what America would be like in 5 years, they need to look into Europe.
Yes.
And why do we need to see that? Because when the Islamists become strong, what happened? They will dump all other socialist groups. Like, look at in France today, we have the Yellow Jackets. The Yellow Jackets going all over the road, the streets, and protesting. And why they're protesting? They're protesting all those tax, elevation, from the current, French government, Yes, and so we see just recently the Muslims are joining them by vast numbers, by hundreds of thousands are Muslims now. They're taking over the movement. Yet the Yellow Jackets at the beginning welcomed that. They thought, oh, they're on our side. But now they're taking this whole thing and they're moving the whole herd into different direction.
Yeah, yeah, they saw an opportunity and they're seizing out of that movement. Let's go ahead and take a break because we do want to talk to you some more about what's going on in Europe, especially since you were just there recently. Everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Kamal Saleem. And we're back in our final segment now with Kamal Saleem talking about Islam here in America and the incredible threat that it is. We will make sure that we get this up on the website as soon as possible so you can re-listen to it. And we're going to try to have Kamal back either next week or very soon thereafter because there has been a lot of developments within Europe. And as he said in that last segment, if you want to know where America will be in 5 years, just take a look at what's going on in Europe. And so, Kamal, you were talking about the infiltration by Islamists into the Yellow Jacket movement, Yellow Vest, I guess, Yellow Vest movement. Why exactly would Muslims join that movement?
Well, the Muslims have no reason to join this movement, especially because the majority of the Muslims, statistically, according to the census, French census, they are not working. They're getting free housing, free food, free transportation, free education, free food, free medical, everything free. So why would they want to join this? What is their purpose? Knowing that the Yellow Jackets or the Yellow Vests, whatever you want to call them, their purpose is to fight, you know, that the tax increase put upon them by the French government. So therefore, why the Muslims are, you know, joining this? Because they're taking this movement into new level that become an Islamic, you know, cause, and it become socialist Islamic, you know, because Islam by itself, it's a social system. Everything will have to answer to the upper, you know, to the caliphate, utterly, that is, when a caliphate are established. But in the meantime, they must establish Islamization and cause, you know, Sharia to be part of their movement. So they are coming from small cities where, you know, where the Muslims are strong, and they're moving into Paris. So just like what we see today, like there is in Denton, Texas, we see huge remnant, you know, Islamist radical. We see that in Tennessee. We see that in Florida. We see that in New York. We see it in different places. So they are moving specifically, like when they march on D.C., right next to them, you know, White House to do the 1 million man, revolt against the nation. So when we see this, they are trying to lead this movement into an Islamic movement.
Mm. Well, it has been fascinating to watch from afar what is going on in Europe, and yet at the same time, it's got to be terribly frightening for people that live there. You've just come back from Europe, and as I said, we'd like to have you back to talk a little bit more in depth, but can you give us some of the highlights of some of the things that you've seen over there?
Well, so in Europe is what's happening, because what socialist system, it'll have a place for anything that is part of its tentacle, like ism, like Islamism, socialism, fascism, you know, liberalism, anything that is that would, you know, control, government control. So therefore, they welcome all this, but they don't understand that some of those things that they will take over utterly, because the socialists themselves in America, they are not prepared to deal with Islam.
No.
They never figured out Islam. They never understood this because they don't understand what's the mandate, you know, and all this. So therefore, what happened is they will welcome them to be part of their battle. But as they're winning, the Muslim will start taking over, just like what we're seeing in France.
Right.
So therefore, what the socialists do, they start giving them sovereignty, like different territory. And they become strong, and sooner or later, they zone those areas, and now what happened, they start taking the next area, and the next area, and the next area, and the French government doesn't know what to do, and they're running back to the capital. Now, the only thing they have is the military. So they will have to choose whether this is going to be a military thing or rewrite the French law or what to do with this, because now they're stuck with it and they have no, you know. So socialism will fail socialism until socialism is just self-destroyed by Islamism utterly.
You know, I remember from previous conversations with you is that Islam has no real equivalent to what Christianity has, in the sense that, you know, you pray for your enemies. If you if you're struck on one cheek, you offer the other one, and so forth. And but I just don't think socialism, or even America in many ways, really knows how to handle that, because Islam doesn't look at that same way. And in fact, I think in a lot of ways, Islam preys on the kindness of people. Would you agree with that?
Not all Muslims.
Sure.
You know, not all Muslims, because Islam is, we need to understand what's the difference between Islam and Muslims. Islam is the slave master, you know, is what imprisoned the Muslims. I believe many of the Muslims are doing what they're doing because they have no idea what else to do, and this is what they have. So that's why we need to help them to assimilate into our culture, to understand what freedom's all about. And so when they are running away, come into our nation, and they have no measuring stick to run by. That's why Democrats, you know, like, come as you are. What happened? We're going to have to pay a price for this, just like what's happening in Europe. So, yeah. But Islam is the opposite polar of Christianity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that's really what brought you around, was when people did show you kindness and love, and that was not at all what you were expecting. Kamal, we would love to have you back, talk a little bit more about Europe. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listening to Kamal today, I kept thinking how all of this really explains why the left is so angry over Trump winning. And it's why they are so desperate to do everything they can to remove him from office. He's the one person in Washington that is willing and able to stand against this. Are you going to put your faith in Mitch McConnell? Even Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows seem willing to fold when they get pushback. Until more people in Congress and government wake up to the true dangers of socialism and Islam, Trump is the only one. And if they can take him out, who is left? No one. That's why they have to get rid of him. America will never be the same if we lose the next election. Pray. Get politically engaged. If you already are, be even more engaged than before. This is a war for America's soul. What side are you going to be on? We have to keep fighting. We have to bring it into the light. Help expose this. We hope you'll share our show and what was said here today with others, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.